Is your mouth all glued up with cunny juice? I asked you a question.
I feel like I have a huge problem. Me being Teddy from the Red Scare. You being some dipshit listening. My partner. Johnny Scotch. Find this. RedScareShow.com. /go fuck yourself. We are the Red Scare. Yeah, it's weird. Every time I start recording, I'm like, ugh, got a show to do. And then I hear the intro. I hear our music. Handcrafted. Specifically for the scare. And I think, fuck! I am so happy to be doing a show right now. What's going on, Scotch?
I'm living the dream. Love those hard cuts. Everything's perfect. You know, when you work out of a multi-dollar studio like we do, you know, you're nothing but the best. Nothing but the best equipment. But, hey, you know, it's April. Showers. Bring in May flowers, right? So we're dealing with the showers right now. We'll have flowers soon enough. But here we are doing another show. So we made it to that point in our lives. So huzzah for us.
Considering the tens and tens of dollars that we put into the show, I think we're doing pretty good. What's going on with you, man?
Anything? Yeah, super exciting stuff. You know, as you're aware that I've taken on a new role at work and the responsibilities are quite heavy, and I'm living in the upstart nightmare that is called training videos of putting together for a team. And so that is absolutely fun listening to somebody talk in a video for hours on end. It reminds me of my first job at Burger King, sitting there in the back little janitor room watching.
Sit you in the basement. Put in for some reason, only these type of companies, these multi-million dollar companies, had those TV VCR combos where they the bottom of the TV is a VCR.
Oh, yeah.
One tape. Maybe somebody snuck in Air America with Robert Downey Jr. and Mel Gibson. But beyond that, you're like, why is Air America here? Anyway,
yeah, someone was just bored. And then you get to sit there and watch the, have you tried fulfilling your life with the career of a Burger King manager? Well, here are these trusty steps to not get fired. Don't finger your employees on the burger making station. You know, all that stuff, all these classic or the safety ones where it's the guy walking and he just slips and his head splits open because he just fell on nothing, like hit a quarter that was on the floor and just dies.
Yeah, for some reason they edited a Faces of Death video in the middle of this training module and you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
No one's talking about Bob about walking, you know, getting his walking down. But, you know, be safe. If you see a quarter on the floor, be careful. You could slip on that with your non-slip shoes, crack your head open and your brain spill out everywhere. But good luck with all that, you know.
Sure. At the places I work, you see a quarter on the floor, it's glued to it.
Yeah, that's the best. That's the best.
Like a Mickey and shipping had a hell of a sense of humor.
Did you bring that up? Did you ever have a job where it was just constant pranks on your employer, on your coworkers? I mean, maybe it's now. No.
I don't like pranks. I'm not into it.
You're not one of the guys.
Normally it's like, well, it's like I have this one guy that I work with, and he'll comment and be like, "Yeah, I had a really tough day. My grandma died," and I'm like, "Shit, man, are you okay? I'm sorry to hear that. If there's anything you need me to do throughout the course of the night or beyond, you're a brother of mine." I get to business when I think it's, and he's like, "Dude, my grandma didn't die. You fell for that?" And I'm like, "Oh, I've just listened to your heartbreaking story of your grandmother dying, and now there's egg on my face. Like, that's the prank." And I think
this is what it's people like you that ruined my empathy. It's the people like you that ruined my empathy.
Yeah. Yeah. The next guy's mom dies. And I'm like, I'm not falling for that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. This one again, huh?
Yeah. Oh, no, no, no.
Oh, fool me
once. Fool me once, fuck face. Not again.
Oh, the good old, hey, did you hear my mom die joke?
Yeah. I'm going to be out for a week. I got to go back to Wisconsin. No, there's no way. There's no way. Fuck you. You know what? When you see that open casket, bitch, give her a kiss for me. He's like, crying. Poor son of a bitch.
Not those type of, like, that's not really a prank. That's just someone's, that's poor attempt at humor, I guess.
It's like, it. You know what it is? Because I talk shit all day long, all night long. It's either jokes or this. Unless I'm, like, working at a table, I'm mostly just talking shit. So I think, like, some people are trying to keep up. And they either try to, there's one guy that actually, like, almost verbatim says the same thing that I say in an attempt to, like, one up me. And I said, you just repackaged exactly what I just said. The difference is that wasn't funny.
Yeah, your delivery is shit.
Your delivery is shit.
Fuck you.
Try to steal my joke. That's the worst. You're basically fucking Carlos Mencia and me right to my face, and you know, throw a different accent on it, and it's a, you know, oh, it's your joke. It's your joke now.
So that's what I'm doing. Well, but then again, I don't deal with the best and the brightest.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get into the prank. Pranking's good. Like, not that shit. That's not prank. Like, when I worked at Honeywell, we each had our own toolboxes and shit, and you know, some people that they thought it would be funny. Like, sometime one dude took my toolbox at the end of the day and took it down to shipping and had him shrink wrap the whole fucking thing, like spin it on those pallet wrappers. So it had about a half inch of Saran wrap around the whole thing. And I'm all, dude, that's a pretty good joke. Little did he know I carried a pocket knife and I just had to walk up and slice it off. So later on that day, I took my Loctite, and after he locked his
toolbox, what's a Loctite?
It's this liquid that you put on metal, like on a screw or something, and it basically seizes the metal together, so it doesn't, the screw doesn't come loose or something.
It's like
that.
A glue welding type of thing,
right, for metal. And so I took it, and it had this little, it has like a little syringe type needle, and I just went up to his lock that, you know, that he puts his key in, because it's on, you know, like a mailbox lock that's on the toolbox type thing, and I just went in and I just squeezed that shit in there. And so the next morning, his toolbox looks fine, his key slides in fine, and all he ends up doing is breaking his key off in the toolbox, because I'm a one-upper pranker. I'm cool with pranks.
That's kind of destructive, though, is it not? I mean, does he got to buy a whole new toolbox now?
No, you just got to buy the lock or replace the lock. Hey, my key broke off in there. Whatever. Wow. It's done.
Okay.
But, you know, hey, it's those.
Because it gets to a point where some people are really destructive. You know, it's like, you just injured a dude. That's not a prank.
No, that's not what I'm saying. But if it takes, like, you know, some time away from you and it's a heavy nuisance, I'm cool with that. Like, I've seen people take you know, that expanding foam spray.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen people cut, like, poke holes in the side of a toolbox or catch a bolt hole in the back and do that in someone's tools. And then basically they have to slide a knife in to cut the drawer, and then all their tools are packed in foam. So it's more like nothing's ruined, but it's a pain in the ass. But, you know, hey, so, work pranks, get creative with it, you know?
I guess, you know what, now that I'm thinking of it, I guess it is a prank. I thought it was just more of like a psychological effing to the ear. What I do is, because, you know, it's fine dining where I work. And I'm obsessive. So if I see like a fork out of place, I go over there. Even if it's not my section, I go over there, put it into place, make sure everything looks good. My mise en place is on point. But I also know that one of the guys I actually really like, he's the same way. So I'll go through his section all through the night and just kind of like twist a fork here and there, 45 degrees.
That's what I'm talking about. Little shit like that.
Like a little thing. Like, how did that happen? But the thing is, it's not a prank because I've never acknowledged it. I've worked with this guy for years. And I just like watching him walk over there and fix it. I don't let him know I'm doing it. I don't let anybody know I'm doing it.
Yeah, but you're destroying him mentally because he knows that fork was straight, but he doesn't know why it's turned every time. He probably thinks the fucking place is haunted.
He's probably, you know, he's a bright guy. He probably already knows that I'm just doing it like fucking Teddy. Like, but if this I acknowledge guy. It, he's going to do it some more. Like I put the water glass on top of the fork instead of on top of the knife. Like, you know, so it's stupid.
You don't ever where you're like, hey, your customer at table 26, he was saying something about you. He asked me if you can get him, if I can bring him some water or, you know, just some random shit and then have them show up with the water. And they're like, I didn't ask for that.
No, because with my clientele, I don't bring them into it. Like my thing is at work, I'm supposed to be talking to my guests as little as possible. The more I talk to them, the less they're drinking, the less they're eating. You know what I mean? They have a specific amount of time they have in my head at this table, and I want to sell them everything I can in as shortest amount of time as possible. And if I'm standing there talking it up, you know, managing a complaint or whatever, that's me talking. I like to be engaging. I want people to laugh. I want people to have a time. But I also want them to shut the fuck up and order more shit. That's a life
upsell. My business is upsell.
Yeah, it's all upsell.
That Branzino good? Let me get you some tiramisu. Follow that up. How's that sound there? Sheila Easton or whoever the fuck is at the table? Sheena Easton?
See, that's where you messed up, Scotch. Do you know where up just now?
Yeah, because tiramisu does not go with Branzino.
I mean, it could. It's Italian.
It wouldn't. No one would order that.
Why not?
I wouldn't.
The thing where
What's that?
Is you said, here's the thing. I make the subject about the guest. Nothing is about me. They ask me, oh, where are you from? I'm from Los Angeles. How about you? Turn it back. Do you like the cacio pepe? I said, I'm a big fan of the cacio pepe. Well, what are you in the mood for? And so the thing is, what people have a problem with is they say, can I get you something? The subject of that is me. That's me selling you something. I don't do that. I get you what you want. So I say, instead of, can I get you this? Can I get you another drink? Would you like another drink? Now, I'm just providing you with what you wanted the whole time. Maybe you didn't know you wanted it till I said it. But now I'm not selling you anything. I'm just getting you whatever the fuck you want. Would you like to add sides with that? Because that is an a la carte dish. They go, huh. I do have an affinity for sides. What's good? I said the mushrooms. The most expensive thing on the side dishes. Truffle fries are also pretty good. Just added another $30 to the check.
Is it real truffle or truffle oil?
Truffle oil. Trust me, if you want real truffle, you're going to pay for that shit. You know how much that is?
I just figured because of the upscale restaurant that you're in, they're using truffle, real truffle.
Oh, no, we use real truffle, but we have a base price for the truffle oil, but we also have actual truffle. I sell more truffles than anything because I say we could also just like make it rain truffles on that if you like. The price is on the menu. I don't even say what the price is. I said
market price in the menu.
it's denoted on the menu. Yeah, I get truffle pizzas, truffle fries, throw it on a burger, throw it on a fucking steak. I don't care. Fucking just open your mouth. I'll make it rain down your gullet.
You know what? One of my favorite flavors, you're talking about truffles, one of my favorite flavors together, and we used to do, and it was with truffle oil, but we weren't a high-end restaurant. When I was at the pub, it was the tater tots, but we tossed them. We'd spray them with truffle oil and then crumble goat cheese on that shit.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
It's legit. Dude, goat cheese is probably one of my favorite fucking. That's the stinky cheese that I like.
Goat cheese is such a versatile cheese, man. You could do anything with it.
It's the rich man's cream cheese. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right. It's the rich man's cream cheese. It's great. You can do anything with it. I make a pretty mean vegetarian lasagna with a ricotta. Sometimes I'm feeling a little
spunky,
little baller, little funky. I'll throw a little goat cheese on the top as a finish. Get it all nice too. And get it nice and not feta. That's a little bit too salty for what I'm doing with lasagna, but yeah, it gets all crispy and nasty on the top. You get that little crunch of goat on the top. Oh, fucking hell. I love it. Oh,
there's a place in California. It was called Augie's or Ogie's. It's like a pizza kind of place. And they had a pizza called, it was either the freshman or the college freshman. And it was all cheese, but it was like mozzarella, ricotta, fucking goat cheese, feta, parmesan, and just those flavors all together.
Yeah,
dude, it's the best cheese pizza I ever had. And it like spread, like, you know, obviously topped with some parsley.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Oh, I was okay with it. I was okay with it.
But you know, when I was a kid, when I was, you know, big boy Teddy.
Back in the day.
You know, my mom would get me these frozen pizzas that Wolfgang Puck made, and it was just tomato and goat cheese and cheese.
Oh, you were a rich kid, weren't you?
I don't know what the hell it was, but she would buy them now and again. That was the best pizza I had at that time. And I thought, holy fuck, this Wolfgang Puck has got to figure it. He figured it all out. It's a frozen Mama Celeste style pizza, but it was the best thing ever. Like fluffy crust. I always just took the tomatoes off because fuck that. But it was all about that goat cheese. Yeah, goat cheese on a frozen pizza. I was like, wow.
I never had no shit like that as a kid. The frozen pizzas we got, if we got any, was like fucking Chef Tony's. You know, the ones that are like fucking, yeah, I don't know, 53 cents.
It's like a cracker.
It's like a cracker with some cheese and ketchup sauce on it. You're like,
there's your frozen pizza. Basically took those packets of Ritz that comes with the little side of cheese, a little sidecar of cheese. And they fucking mashed it up, put some water on it, put the cheese on it. It was like, here's a pizza now, you son of a bitch.
Oh, that was it, man. That was the childhood life. I want a lunch
of my red stick. That red stick that you would smear the cheese on your stupid cracker.
I love that cheese too. Oh, I love that flavor of that cheese. It's like that canned cheese, that cheese whiz. Mm.
Love it.
Love it.
But that one little sidecar cheese, I've never had anything like it since. Even that little what was that whippet can of cheese, that whiz or whatever.
Cheese whiz, yeah.
But that I love that too.
But it's close, but it's not the same flavor.
It's not the same thing.
And I'm upset they never made the sidecar a little bigger because there was never enough fucking cheese never for enough crackers. Cheese.
No. You could have like it was like four crackers. One cracker would be like where you want it to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd use that whole shit on one cracker and be like, these other sad fucking four crackers, they're out of here.
I guess it's cracker time. This is plain sad cracker time.
It's funny because it's so different, like when we were kids, because you come home from school and you know, talking about my parents, grandparents always made lunch for me to take, right? There was no pre-buying shit. There was no Lunchables coming with me, and I'd come home and be like, oh yeah, you know. For Johnny had a Lunchable. Oh, I'll get you I can make a Lunchable for you. Out comes the bologna and a fucking shot glass, and they're pushing down on the fucking bologna to give you some circle bits of bologna. Right, taking the sandwich, sliced cheese, and shot glass on there. There's circle cheese, circle bologna, and some Ritz crackers. You know, have a Lunchable, and I'm all, but it doesn't have a juice box and it's in a Ziploc, all of it together.
Yeah, it's in a brown bag, Grandma.
It's not the same. Well, I was in the Depression. You don't know. You'll eat this.
I had a thing. Something about those Lunchables and that the way it was all shaped. I never even tried that shit. It just looked too mechanical for me. Never had one Lunchable. I've had Ritz. To this day, never tried it once. That meat did not look right. And even this is when I was in. A meat eating fool. I don't know, something about that circle meat not into it.
It's all just kind of, look, it's the same thing. Look at it like this. When you go to your Ralph's Marketplace in the neighborhood, or your Trader Joe's or whatever, and you go up to the deli and you're like, hey, give me 3 pounds of that mortadella, slice it thin, you know, and they put that tube up there and they fucking start slicing your bologna. It's just a smaller tube and they're slicing it. So, I mean, they got bologna at the deli that's that bigger, you know, 5-inch diameter.
The meat is the same size as the cheese. That's the same size as the cracker.
Yeah, it's like, dude,
there's something going on here.
Science for packaging purposes. Everything's not the same.
Yeah, I never liked it.
Don't you formulate my cheese?
Whatever it is.
Those were...
I got to tell you, Scott, I have to go to the bathroom. I'm going to try not to.
How is this? Every time we get on the fucking on the show, you got to... You're breaching or crowning or whatever the fuck they say.
Yeah, I'll give you credit. You you relax me.
You gonna take a dump? Are you gonna poop your pants, huh,
Mr. I'm gonna try not to,
Mr. Poopy Pants, huh?
But if you're talking and I disappear and you don't hear me, you know what's going on. I'm giving you a heads up. What else is going on?
Yeah, you disappear and it's going to be like, well, Bears.
Yeah.
You got the rapid show. You got the rapid fire show. I'll tell you what's going on. Your Supreme Court nominee, she's in now, right? Jackson, she's in.
You know, these Republican fucks are such babies. They're so petty. What's going on in Congress? Regardless of what side you're on, Scotch, it is just fucking pathetic that these babies walk out of the room because they're they wanted to block a nomination,
yeah.
And they walk out of the room on the one she gets a. I mean, first of all, I'm not one of those that subscribes to this. Let's predetermine that it's going to be the first Black woman Supreme Court justice. I don't care. They said that when Clarence Thomas was the first Black or the second Black Supreme Court justice. And it was like, yeah, but he's no fucking Thurgood Marshall. That's, you know.
But what was, see, here's the thing that sucks is that in my heart of hearts, I believe Joe Biden picked her because she is a Black female.
Well, he telegraphed it and said, I am only going to be picking a Black female. He said that.
Open Joe, Uncle Open Joe. And so it was just, it just sucks because I'm not saying she's not qualified. I'm sure she is very well qualified, but you turn around and make it a racial stereotype. You know what I mean? Not stereotype, but racial.
It's a predetermined, you're racially profiling, but you're doing it in a way that you think that's advantageous. Like you're pandering to a specific group that probably doesn't want to be pandered to in the first place. If you had said, I have every right to nominate exactly who I want, and just shut the fuck up about who that might be or what type of person that might be, and it just so happens that these people are Black women, I get that. But when you telegraph it and say, I'm only going to be nominating Black women, you're like, well, that's as bad as you saying I'm only going to be nominating white men to me. I don't like
it. It's exactly the same. Picking the person that's the best for the job. Who gives a fuck?
Exactly.
I mean, I would even be okay.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, I would have been okay if you'd have been like, I'm only looking at a woman for this position. I feel we have enough men in there. Let's even it out to replace the woman that left and passed away. Like I would at least be okay with that because that could have been a woman of any color.
What you do is you bullshit. You're in politics. This is what you do for a living. You bullshit. You say, I am going to be picking the best candidate for the position, in my estimation. If they all happen to be koala bears, all right. I just found that guy to be the best.
You know what I mean?
So when they end up being all Black women, you're like, look, this is the best we got. Okay. Let's look at them.
Let's see what they got. Lay it out on the table.
Thanks for presenting the argument, Joe. But when you telegraph it, like, this is what it's going to do, it's just like, what are we doing here? This is why. Here's the thing. This quote unquote race issue, even though it's a real thing, people hate other people just for being different. But the focus on it, the hypersensitivity that comes with it, is so overblown that it overshadows what the real issue is, and that's economics.
Right.
The working class, the poor in this country are the majority of the poor in this country, and this is obviously based on population because there are just more of them, are white. There are more poor white people in this country than there are anything else. But then they talk about helping communities of color. Now you got poor white people that feel marginalized, and they go, all right, these fucking liberal retards don't have my interest. I'm going to go with McCain 15 years ago. Then I'm going to go with Mitt Romney, rich asshole. And then all of a sudden, Trump. This is the problem. The Democratic Party, the leftists, the radical left, we've left the working class behind, and we made them feel that we look down on them when they are us. We are the party of the working class. Well, it makes no fucking sense. So when you say, I'm only going to be looking at women of color, you're saying, I'm a dumb fuck and I can't see anything but race. It's stupid, Scotch.
Well, it is. And I think that you're right when you talk about, you know, the people of the working class. It's interesting because you're exactly right. That's how they all ended up over voting for McCain, Romney, Trump, because like you said, the majority of poor people in this country are white. And when the Democrats only talk about people of color and helping people of color and doing this for people of color, we need to do this. Granted, they should be helped. Everybody should be helped. Working class is working class. Take race out of it. Working class is working class.
Yeah, but don't exclude anybody.
That's what I'm saying. You exclude all these people just because they're white, and they're like, okay, but I'm just as poor, if not poorer. You know, I still got to get my kids to do this. I still got to get my kids. You know, I want my kids to have an education, even though I can't afford it. I mean, I didn't do nothing wrong. Why can't I get a scholarship? You know, that's the shit that sucks.
Well, but what comes back is, well, I know the numbers. What comes back is that the disproportionate amount of black people compared to the white people that are poor is much higher. So we have to take care of that. And I said, well, yeah, but we could do it all at the same time. That's
stop
what social
breaking it up
services
in the colors.
Are for. Yeah.
Stop
yeah,
breaking
yeah,
it up that, in the colors.
Yeah. I mean, it's just doesn't make any sense to isolate somebody that should be on your side. The Republican Party has been, especially since Reagan, the party of cheese and wine. They want to get that paper. They don't want to pay taxes. And they want to step on people to do it and put it under the guise of being American. Because that's what Americans do.
Fuck yeah.
And
that's
for
what
some
I would
reason,
do.
Exactly. But for some reason, the poor people, the poor white people of this country have hitched their wagon to this ideal, and they're getting screwed over more than anybody. So
it's because it's the dream of getting to that point. Like I don't agree. I agree with everything you say as far as my goals, aside from, well, now I would step on people to get where I need to go. And it's not, you know, that's just the way it is. I used to use that term when I was in construction. Like I had people, you know, working alongside, and I'd be like, you're all just rungs in my ladder to the top. You're all just rungs in my, like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to do the work, but you can use the ladder too and move yourself up. But I'm not going to let any of you keep me from going up. That's just what I'm saying. I want to have cheese and wine. I want to have tax loopholes. I want all of that. And I want you to have it too. But this is how this is how you have to get there. Unfortunately, this is the way. You know, starting your own business, you got a ruthless prioritization, and that's what you have to do. You have to sacrifice a bunch of shit, family time, bars, partying, going out, clubbing, all that shit, all the fun shit. If you really want to be wealthy and do your deal, take your 20s and stop fucking around and do you and make yourself a business and corporation and take yourself to the top. So when you hit 30 and you're banking big bucks, now you're going out and you're fucking living the dream. You're doing your cheese, your wine, you're drinking your Crevassier, whatever the fuck your high-end shit may be. But other people, and I did it myself the wrong way. I did all my partying in the 20s, did all that shit. That is when I should have been locking down my personal corporation and getting the house in order. So I'm not doing it, trying to catch up now at 40 or 35. I should have done it at 20. So at 30, I could have been like, what's up? This is my house that I bought when I was 28. It's my wife, kids, my fucking 3 cars, boat. Like, yeah, because I did all this shit in my 20s instead of going out fucking snorting speed and trying to dance and get laid. Like, that's what everybody's priorities are in the 20s. Drugs, alcohol, rock and roll, like a party by woo. You don't know me. I've been under oppression for so many years in school. Now I'm free as a bird. And you fucking fly right into a bug zapper. That's the thing. It's prioritization and changing. I think that everybody deserves to be rich and do the same thing that the rich people do. Black, white, yellow, green, fucking your koala citizens, as you brought up earlier, they all deserve it too.
I also wanted to know, when we started going back to calling people colored, people of color.
It's kind of full circle.
Yeah, full circle. I remember when, we were, in like third, fourth, fifth grade, learning about Martin Luther King and coloreds only or no coloreds in the thing. And we thought, and the teacher said, okay, we don't use that term anymore. I thought, okay, done with that.
Gone.
Came right back. People of color.
It's like fucking bell bottoms, bro.
It's like Sean Penn and Robert Duvall. You're like, what the fuck? Colors? 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 Iced tea. Iced tea, baby.
I'm a nightmare walking psychopath. Psychopath talking. Yeah. I know you, Pac-Man. It's interesting because I remember being young and going, my grandmother was born in 1923. Grew up in North Dakota, lived in Arkansas, obviously during those times, if you will, in the 50s and 40s and whatnot. And she would refer, like, I remember going to a liquor store and coming out and she had said something like, that colored fella was waiting on me. That colored fella was waiting on me. And I remember looking at her and going, what color was he? Because me, I didn't know, like, I never heard anybody call anybody a colored person.
Right.
Like our poor white ass was, he's Asian, like, what black, was he, blue? He's Mexican. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we just.
You saw a green man, grandma? Crazy. Green person, can you point them out next time?
Is this fire in the sky shit green? Like the grays? I don't know.
Because if you're seeing purple people, I'm looking at the wrong place. I gotta wash my eyes in some of these assholes.
No, it just makes that song even more true. The one eye, one heart, flying purple people eater. He was a flying purple people eater. Which meant he ate purple people. I always thought
that was like a dick. Like a engorged dick.
That ate people?
I mean.
Hey.
We grew up in the time of AIDS, man. Everything was sexual.
Everything was. Everything still is. It's just more blatant now. Is
it more blatant now?
I feel like it is. I feel like it's, pretty soon the car commercial is just going to be like, do you want to get your dick sucked off while you're driving? Get yourself a, you know what I mean? Like it's going, you know, they can only get to so much clothes off on TV that the next step is, have you ever fucked in the ass in the back of a Grand Cherokee? Well, now you can with Comfort Ride. You know what I mean? Like
I feel the opposite. I think that we're getting more and more conservative. We're getting more uptight about sex. There's more people are not having sex than ever before. This has been going
That's because nobody talks to anybody.
That's the whole thing. Communication is lost. Even because people are texting more than they're actually talking to each other. They don't even know how to, there's no punctuation anymore. I don't know if you noticed this, but I write as if I'm like writing like an essay or something like that when I'm texting. If I'm saying they are. I'm abbreviating it, but I'm taking the extra time to put the fucking comma between the Y and the R. Or the apostrophe, excuse me.
No, I'm with you.
Between the Y and the R.
See, at least we know those things.
I can't look at it and go, I did that without the apostrophe. Drives me nuts. But I see these things on Facebook or whatever. Everything's an abbreviation. Everything's an acronym. People don't know how to, they don't know how to type, let alone speak anymore. So it's, the communication is done. I meet somebody anywhere and I'm just like, I can't believe you even speak English. I'm guessing everybody's illiterate.
Oh, they are. 100%. We are slowly becoming that movie Idiocracy.
It's so true. It's sad.
Baiting. Electrolytes. It's what plants crave. That's what's happening. I mean, it sucks because like my son will come home and he'll say something. Well, what? What does that even mean? I don't know. I just heard some kids saying it. I go, you're not going to want to just start using words you don't know the meaning behind in sentences because that's going to make
you sound like a moron.
Yeah. You know,
you're stupid.
Yeah. They're going to think you're stupid when you're just like, oh yeah, I was like skeet, blat, broop. And I'm like, dude, what are you fucking Bill Cosby now? Dude, it's just a little super doop boop that, you know, you're not even using words. Can we get,
a Jello Pop? Little yeah, Frankie. Exactly.
He's writing his sentences and, you know, like he writes the word what, W-A-T. And I'm like, look, dude, first of all.
No.
There's an H in there. Just because we don't say what, it's in there. And I get it. That what?
What?
Like cool whip? Yes, what? I understand. You have to, I get that the American language has got to be a pain in the ass to learn.
It's rough.
It's rough. You know, oh, yeah, the word poor or the word poor. What's the difference? Well, one means poor and the other one means poor.
Meaning I want to pour out all the poor people from this country.
Yeah.
Country.
Country. Because if it was country, it would be C-U-N-T-R-Y, but it's not C-U-N-T-R-Y.
No, that's too suggestive.
Yeah, exactly.
People are too uptight for that. You gotta throw
I'm the one who puts cunt in country, okay? That's
a really good fucking... that would be a really good country song.
Well, don't worry. I'm working on something.
You put the cunt in country.
You put the cunt in country. It'll start off. Now, this might seem heinous. I'm going to make love to your anus and call you Becky in the morning. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's true. Pretty soon we're just going to be walking up to people and going,
Yeah, we're going to be ants. You know, ants do that. You can see like a whole group of ants and they'll like rub antenna and be like, no, fuck it. And then all of a sudden, one guy will go to the next ant, be like, rub antenna, I'm going to pick you up, take you over here. That's my new girlfriend.
That's it.
That's how it's going to go.
if I can, it's gonna be like what is it, Demolition Man, when Sylvester Stallone and Sandra Bullock put on the love making devices, but they don't actually touch. No, Mr. Yeah, Chang, like, you know, we do not change bodily fluids.
I still jerk off the manual way.
You know, fucking, I can't deal with this stuff anymore. I can't. It's getting harder to, it's why I don't like going out anymore, because I know that I'm gonna have to deal with somebody that's outside.
Yeah.
And they get angry if you're not on their same stupidity level. Like, these are the same people that I assume go to restaurants and, you know, just don't read the menu, and they order the stuff and mad at you because you brought out exactly what's on the menu. I didn't want onions. You did see that there was onions on there, though, didn't you, sir? You were able to visually inspect that piece of paper with your eye? Yeah, I didn't want onions.
No, tomato. What? It's all there. You got a burger. I don't need meat. Oh, okay, because I know that. Great.
I know.
Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah, unfortunately, my psychic bills haven't been working out so well. That's why I'm here serving you fucking food instead of predicting the lottery numbers out there. You know, that I just, it's the same people that something happens like, oh, my landlord said that I couldn't do da 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 da. You know, and it's, you know, they're selling the house. Did you read your contract? No, I just signed it for the. So you didn't read everything in that thing that you signed. You just saw that the price of rent was what you could afford, and this is your first month's, last month's, and that's it, right? You didn't read all the shit that you're like actually responsible for in the lease, like landscaping or any type of upkeep on anything. No. But yeah, they're not allowed to do that. They can't make me. Blah, blah, blah. No, they actually can. They can. That's how agreements work.
That's how agreements go.
A contractual obligation. Don't worry, buddy. I'll get you some colors and we'll draw it out right now. Well, if I can get some colors, Play-Doh. Huh?
Back to colors.
Get some Play-Doh. You can build your story and a little doll to show me where the landlord hurt you. And then you can color out your feelings on a piece of paper. And then we'll take it to the landlord and see if they can redo your agreement based off of your kindergarten essay here.
That's great stuff. What else is going on?
Nothing. My drinking intake, my liquor consumption has gone up as of late.
Why? You depressed?
No, for all the reasons forementioned. It's just like, I just, fuck it. I'm just going to come home and drink and go to bed and get through another day before this planet blows up. You know, it's I've given up on politics. Like I brought up Jackson getting confirmed, and you'd mentioned that, you know, the Republicans walking out and acting like kids and shit. And I'm all, this is funny. It's the exact same thing that happened when ACB was going through and what's his name went through, except it was the Democrats acting like kids. But here we are, it's flipped. And now whether you believe any of the accusations, how they acted is how they acted on both sides. And it's just funny to me.
You think that's assuming that Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett on the same plane as Merrick Garland or Ketanji B.J.
I don't know. On. I don't know any of their backgrounds. All I know is they're obviously being put forth. It's not like they just randomly got picked
out the guy, of the one of them. Subway. One of them was accused. One of them was accused of sexual abuse. One of them was accused of being straight out of The Handmaid's Tale. We're not talking about apples and apples comparison, but you know what? It's all the same.
I'm not comparing what you think of the person up there. I'm saying how either side acted for each person.
Well, there's a reason to react certain ways, and then there's not. There's no reason for that little Josh Hawley twat to be talking to a Supreme Court judge or Ted Cruz or any of those fuck-faced motherfuckers that were so rude and unbelievably offensive to be doing that to somebody that's a Supreme Court nominee is crazy. The Democrats weren't doing that. They were asking tough questions, but they weren't berating them.
Didn't I don't want to get into it, but I'm pretty sure that Kavanaugh got pretty because
he's been accused of sexual assault.
Accusation.
I just said accused.
Right, but just because someone's accused doesn't mean they did it. You don't get to treat them guilty because they were accused.
If you get accused by dozens of people of doing certain things, you think it just, I mean, I understand what conspiracy means, but there's also a level of, well, this is a little bit too common for you. Maybe try somebody else. Maybe let's get somebody who doesn't have maybe just one accusation.
But do you see the potential for Miss Jackson in there? That if you were to accuse her of something, do you see how easily that gets spun back? Like, let's say she did have something in her closet. Okay. Just
everybody's got something in their closet, but
if you bring it up, how easy it is for the other side to be like, you're only doing this because she's a black woman.
But several people came out and said Kavanaugh. It's like, I mean, all you needed was one person during the Clarence Thomas trial. Anita Hill came out and said, he raped me. He assaulted me. I was uncomfortable. He called his dick Long John Silver.
And it's that was troubling in the 90s. That's how we knew it was a lie. We knew it was a lie because it's not silver.
It's all back to colors, huh, Scott?
I'm just saying,
but we already touched on that. We already touched on that. Judges don't play political politics, or at least they shouldn't. Okay,
of course they should.
If you have a record of playing political politics in your career as a judge, then you need to be looked at, and that's the whole point. Judges are making judgments based on precedent that's going on in the Constitution that's been established, and that's what it is. But now these party politics, this side, your side, we've already crossed the point of no return. Stepped on my toe, he took my shovel in the lunchbox, I'm gonna throw fucking sand in your face now.
He once farted in the elevator when I was in there, and it really offended me. He had no.
And now I'm going to blow up his fucking house. That's equal.
Of course, eye for an eye.
Well, Scotch, because my bowels are moving, I'm going to cut this fucking short. I think we've done enough. I've done enough.
We've done enough talking here. We know where the state is. It's an absolute shit show.
Speaking of absolute shit show, Bears.
What's up, Bears?